Well, it's been a long time since I've been here. I think it's been 2 years since I've taught. And I started this talk like a week ago. You know, you always get ideas in your head and they kind of go different ways. And I had it going down one road and then Spirit kind of brought it another road. And kind of, it's going to be like a roller coaster ride, I think, tonight. So, and if all goes well, it should actually be a fun roller coaster ride. I always talk about things that I've gone through, things that I've experienced, or things that I'm currently going through, and this kind of takes the whole gamut. So buckle up your seatbelts and get ready for a fun ride. And I felt like at first that I was going to be all over the place, but sometimes it feels like that, and then it just seems to come together. And that, and I was dealing with a headache today, and Mike says, well, I can pitch it for you. I can read your talk. And I said, well, but what I have down is only part of it. So it wouldn't quite go that well. So I am very grateful, though, that we aren't from the religion that says that when you've got a headache, whatever your thoughts are must be causing your headache. We talked about this on Sunday because I've been thinking about this talk a lot, and it would be kind of bad if that was causing my headache. So, so anyway, I've had an interesting last, I'd say, 9 months. Kind of gone through a lot of things, and I've realized some things, and it's interesting. We've been coming to this church now for about 11 years, doing classes for 10 years, and you hear the same things over and over again, but sometimes you don't hear them. You know, Millie has certain class lessons that every year she does, and I think we had been in class for about 7 years, and she read one, and I said, Millie, I've never heard that class lesson. And she said, honey, I read it every year. So I think when you're ready to hear something, you actually hear it. And that's kind of what this talk is about, a couple things that I have been hearing for the last 11 years, and now I kind of get them. So one thing that I have realized interesting about myself is I feel like I have a multiple personality. And I'm going to use that just for lack of a better way of putting it. I have this spiritual personality that I really like. When I am walking in my spiritual personality, and I am in that spiritual, I am grounded, I am steadfast, I know what I know. I've tested it out. I know that when the bumps come, they're little, that God's going to hold my hand, He's going to get me through it. I can handle adversity, I can handle that storm cloud, I can handle those. I believe that you reap what you sow. I believe that God will never give you more than you can handle. I am in balance. It's just, when you're in that spiritual, you feel really good. You feel good about yourself. You feel loving toward all. And I believe that we are spiritual beings here for a human experience. We come down here to have this human experience. So that's my other personality, this human part. And that human part, for the most part, is pretty good, but it can go negative. It can go out of balance. It can get pretty ugly pretty fast. I can throw tantrums that would make a 3-year-old look, be envious of the tantrums that I can throw. My husband knows this too. When I am in that human mode, I doubt, I fear. I don't think God's even around. And there are times when you kind of forget the whole spiritual being. But in that time, I also feel like I've taken my spiritual personality and locked him in a little cage, and they're sitting there going, listen, I'm here, just listen, and I'm just too busy, you know. And the habits that you come, we learn habits from a child of how to react to certain things, and those habits follow us through our life, and it's those habits that can put us in a negative space. And sometimes, and when I get in that negative space, it's not real easy to get out of it. And a lot of times, you know, I forget that I have this whole band of angels and this whole band of help that is there to help me through it. And if I could just get quiet and listen, usually the problem that's this big in my mind is really only this big, and it's pretty easy to fix. But you forget that. So one thing that I am very grateful for is, depending on how long I'm going through this human experience of the negativity, is I can pray. And normally it's my husband, I'm going to use him, because when you're in a relationship, it seems like the person you're in the relationship is usually the one you butt heads with the most. You know, and so we used to have a fight, and I would be all upset and all anxious about it, and I'd pray, and I'd start praying. God, please help him change his mind. Please help him see the error of his ways. You know? It's like, because I'm upset, so evidently I have to be right, right? You know? The funny thing is what I found with those prayers is usually in the process of praying for him to change his mind and see the error of his ways, I began to see where, oh, maybe I misunderstood something. Maybe it was me that didn't follow through with something and that, and usually that's where it is, usually a misunderstanding, an assumption that he said something and I heard something totally different. You know, we assume things and then I take it personally. I feel like he's attacking my person and then, you know, I'm all upset. So it comes down to self-responsibility. And, you know, that's kind of a bummer because it's always easier and nicer to be able to blame someone else. You know, Millie says that's why churches have the devil, so we can blame him. You know, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. And, you know, that would be all good, but most of our actions always come down to self-responsibility. And in those moments when I'm all out there and when I can at least get quiet for a moment, I can usually see that I am responsible for my actions. I am responsible for the habits that I have done all my life. And it's kind of, you know, they say insanity is the same action, doing the same action and expecting a different outcome. And I realized something in the last couple of years that I have been doing that with some of the ways that I handle situations. I do the same actions and I expect a different reaction or a different outcome. Well, it usually always ends up in the same thing. It's this vicious circle. So you have to write your play. You have to rewrite that movie. I remember when we went to see King Kong. Everybody's seen King Kong. Well, they redid King Kong, a year or two years ago? And I was so excited to see it. Jack Black was in it. King Kong was beautiful. All this graphics. In my mind, King Kong was going to live. And when we left that movie, I said, oh, can't believe that they killed him. And my kids all looked at me and they said, Mom, haven't you seen King Kong before? He always dies. And I go, I really thought it would be different. I really thought that they would remake it in a different way. You know, to me it just was never fair. I was hoping they would change that. So that's what I realized. I have to rewrite my movie. When I start down that path of negativity, instead of the same old replay, I need to be able to change that. And that comes with self-responsibility. That comes with being able to get my self-control and change the habits. And it's a whole lot easier said than done. And, you know, if I can just remember to pray, and if I can just remember that it's me that has to make the changes. You know, I did learn once that B vitamins were very calming when you're upset. And I learned one time that they're not always needed to be taken internally. You could throw them and it helps too. And that was something that I don't suggest that, but, you know. So we have to work on our own self-responsibility. Mostly we have to work on our own happiness. Because a lot of these things, these times when I become negative in that, it's because I'm just not happy with what I'm doing. I'm not happy within myself. So I'm looking for any little thing just to let me show that, you know what, I'm not happy. Because for some reason, we get in those unhappy spots. And I think it's because we all are looking for that holy grail of what is it that I'm here to do? My purpose on life. That is the question that, you know, everybody wants to know. Dear God, what is my purpose on life? We all come with a purpose. And it's funny because in the last couple of months, I've kind of believe that we all have the same purpose. And I'm not a big one to go to these places and they talk love this and love that and love. But you know what? I truly believe that our sole purpose to come here is to learn to love. And love in our actions, our thoughts, our words, in everything we did. Everything we do, if we act from love, then it's going to kind of take care of everything else, you know? If everybody from, you know, the littlest person to the biggest person, the government, if everybody acted from love, the world would be a totally different place. So it's not up to me to solve world hunger. It's not up to me alone to solve these big problems. It's up to me to start within myself, to start to love myself so that I can love to others and I can teach love to everyone else so that I can be loving. The problem is, you know what? That is one of the hardest things to do, to love yourself, to really love yourself and to be loving all the time. And, you know, love is a big word. It's in most of our songs, most of our movies, poems, books. Love is probably the number one written about word. And, you know, how many people really know what it is and how many people really come from that space and how many people really truly love themselves? Because that's a really hard thing to do. If you read Corinthians 13, it says love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. And just that little part alone tells you how powerful love is. And then you read the rest of what love really is, and it really is an amazing thing, but it's just become a word. You know, I love you, love this, love that, love this. But how many really know what that is? And for me, I got to thinking, how do I really learn to love myself? And I thought, well, you know, that's something I've been working on, and it's hard. And funny thing is it kind of comes back to the self-responsibility again. Everything comes back to yourself. You choose your family. You are responsible for the family that you were born into. Most of the things that we bring upon in life, we've chosen. And that's a really hard one. You know, a lot of us don't want that responsibility. And I realized that one thing that I had to learn to do was to forgive myself. And I kind of went through a state of depression about 6 months ago. For about 6 months, it just started and I just kept going down and down and down. And at one point I thought, you know what, I'm going to go talk to someone. And it was really a hard thing to do because I've never really been into that. And it really helped because she kind of gave me a perspective. She actually helped me see something that Millie has been telling us for years. Millie tells us, go back to childhood memories and see some of the things that happened in your childhood. See them from an adult perspective. Children see things at such a different level than we do. That song that Devlin sings, Children Will Listen, it is so true. It is such a powerful song. And my youngest is 15. My oldest is 23. You know, I'm just now getting this. Children don't understand when you say something jokingly to them. They don't understand sarcasm when they're little. When you say something like, oh, you're a big girl, aren't you? That little girl is probably hearing, ooh, I'm big and fat. I'm not pretty. You know, or children hear things on different levels. Things that people say off the cuff and just jokingly to a child, they hear that. That's big to them. I went back and was able to see something from a different perspective that had been said to me as a child that really kind of messed with my psyche for a bit, you know? And I talked to this person about it, and she explained something that the person that said it was probably going through at the time. And it made me kind of see that what they said to me was just a remark, just a statement. And most likely really didn't mean a whole lot. But to me as a child, it really kind of defined who I was. It really has stuck with me my whole life and made me really, I haven't worn the victim badge on that one, but I've been an ally for somebody. It's like, you know, I hear somebody going through that and boy, I'm like there to fight for them. But it made me realize that as a child, those words almost devastated me. And to that grown-up, it didn't mean anything. So go back and look at your childhood and see areas where maybe something was said that really has affected you and maybe has kept you stuck in some place where you can't move on. And this is where the forgiveness comes in. Is when she looked at me and she said, you need to work through the guilt that you have around this. And I looked at it, and she said, you carry a lot of guilt and responsibility for that. And I thought, wow. You know how true that was? You don't realize, you think, oh, well, it must have been my fault that they said this, or, you know, this happened, so it must have been my fault that happened. As a child, you take on a lot of responsibility that you don't even realize it. And the problem with forgiveness is being able to forgive yourself. Is a lot of times we don't even realize the guilt that we're carrying around. But that guilt is what eats us up. You know, when you don't forgive somebody, it's like every morning you wake up and you take a dose of poison. And it eats you up. Well, the person that you're not forgiven is walking around out there. They don't even know that you haven't forgiven them. They don't even feel it. But it's you that it's eating up. So if you're carrying that guilt, if you're not forgiving yourself for something, and you're carrying that every morning you get up, and I think you take a double dose of poison. Because you just keep letting that eat you up. So it's easier said than done. It's really hard to be able to go back and see things. But, you know, with prayer and that, you can do it. And with a little help, sometimes somebody can help you walk you through it and just see things from a different perspective. It really does help to learn to forgive yourself. It's easy. Well, for me, it's always been easy for me to forgive other people. I've always been able to see somebody has done something. Well, I could kind of understand why they did it. You know, I'm not perfect. I've done a lot of stuff that, you know, you just don't even realize you do it. And then it's like, oh, you know, you feel guilty. You know, you can ask somebody forgiveness and that. But I even realized that even as a mother, you know, just become a mother, there's a whole years of guilt that you can have, you know? Well, my child didn't get good grades. Well, my child did this, or they that. You know, you take responsibility from those kids from the day they're born till the day they die. And, you know, for me, a couple years ago, my youngest son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I did not realize the guilt that that had with me until one day I was at work, and I just broke down. And somebody, and a friend came in, and she said, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And I thought, oh my gosh. You know, it's not. Things happen. But I teach diet and nutrition. I teach people how to prevent this kind of stuff. And my son got it. You know, I really felt really guilty about that. But, you know, it was a virus. It was a fluke thing. And, you know, it's like that really made me begin to see other areas of my life where, as a parent, I've continued to take guilt on. But you know what it also made me do? It also made me start asking my kids, hey, do you remember when we did this and I said this? And, you know, how did you feel about that? Funny thing was that half the time they don't even remember. They're like, oh, whatever, Mom, you know, that's fine, you know. So try and learn to forgive yourself, because once you can forgive yourself, you can get rid of that guilt. That guilt really weighs you down. Forgiving yourself and forgiving others is one of the most rewarding, powerful, liberating things that you can do, because what it does is it opens you up to receive love, but it opens you up to give it. And it doesn't leave you with that needy, needy, needy. It opens you up to give more. And when you give more, you actually receive more. And especially if you give without expecting it back, it fills you up so much more. But you've got to get past the guilt and that feeling of, I don't deserve it, because you do deserve it. And it's just a matter of finding what it is. And you know what? It's a whole lot easier said than done. It's one of the hardest things to do, because once again, you're going through and you're having to look at you. And it's a whole lot harder to look at yourself than it is to look at someone else. It's a whole lot easier to sit there and tell somebody else what they're doing wrong and how to make it better than to sit down with yourself and say, okay, this is what I need to change, and this is what I need to make better. It's a hard road. It's not an easy road. But for me, it has been very liberating, and it has been very eye-opening. And just doing this talk, it just made me, it really opened my eyes up to a lot of areas where I was carrying guilt that I didn't need to be carrying anymore. And guilt is very heavy. It really weighs on your shoulders. So if you can start to lighten that up, that lightens up your spirit. And also one other thing that I wanted to say is something that I realized is when I'm in that frazzled human mode, I used to go there a whole lot more and a whole lot faster and stay there a lot longer. And as the years come, those times of being in that negative has gotten smaller. Those times of going there has gotten shorter. And I realized something this week. I thought, you know what? That's spiritual growth. By golly, I'm doing it. That if you're uncomfortable when you're there, if you don't go there as easy as you did, if you don't go there as long, then you're that spiritual growth. So there's all these little things that, you know, your spirit is just wanting to be whole, wanting to be a part of you, wanting you to hold on to it and just be that spiritual person, because that's who you are. It wants the human experience. So when you do something wrong, when you say something, if you, you know, we're not perfect all the time. And if we were perfect, well, we probably wouldn't be here. But we want to learn to be loving. And that's my goal, is to learn to be loving in everything I do. And I'm getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer each year. And sometimes it feels like little tiny baby steps, and sometimes I feel like I go two steps forward and three steps back. But at least I go forward a little bit before I go back. So I don't know if that helps or if it makes any sense, but that's what I've been through in the last, well, probably the last year, is really going inward and finding that stuff and just trying to get rid of it. So as Dr. Laura would say, go take on the day and don't feel guilty.